It is 1:31. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We're breaking into our programming to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas.
Couple things. First, I just came back from our first meeting of the High School Sports Advisory Committee, and I want to thank them for their work. They're hard at work trying to look at all the issues involved with high school sports this year and the importance of it. So I look forward to getting more information from them later in the week. I also want to thank our alcoholic beverage control agents that have been out under the leadership of Mike Moore for their helping the Department of Health in assuring those with alcohol permits that they follow the guidelines of the Department of Health. I think that's made a difference as they have engaged in reminding the businesses of their responsibility, and they've been very, very responsive. And then I would like to make an announcement today. I mentioned before that we wanted to look at the acquisition of antigen testing equipment, and I'm pleased to say that we have now received 100 BD Veritor new antigen testing machines. They have been received. They are in place. You can see a picture of those. And we have 100 more of these on order. And we have not yet received the testing kits that are necessary for this. But we have received the testing equipment, and we look forward to receiving the rest of it. And our plan is to assign these new BD Veritor antigen equipment to our public health units with a priority of utilizing the quick turnaround test, our point of care test, for our K through 12 educational systems. In other words, if there's a teacher, if there's a staff person, if there's a student that needs to have a quick test, then they can go there to the local health unit, get a quick turnaround on this equipment that we'll be deploying over the next 3 weeks. So I think that will be something that will be useful. One of the priorities of educational staff as to what we need to do to be ready for school. I did want to mention our testing goal as well. This is the beginning of the new month of August, and last month we had a little bit over 990,000 test. We want to be able to set a goal for this next year of 190,000, not next year, but next month, this month, 190,000 tests, plus a new goal, which is 10,000 antigen tests. And so that gives us a total of 200,000 tests that we can perform, which is much greater than 6% of our population. And we have to set aggressive goals to be able to achieve those and to make a difference. With that, let's go to our case reports. And over the weekend, on Saturday, we had 662 new cases. On Sunday, 637 new cases. Both of those were down. And then today, if you look at our new cases, we're up slightly, but it still maintains the same level that we really were looking at last week. We had 787 new cases over the last 24 hours. Six of those were in the correctional facilities. And that brings us to a total cumulative number that have been tested positive at 44,597. In terms of hospitalizations, our hospitalizations are down 2, which we're grateful for, down to 513. Regretfully, our deaths are up 11. That brings our deaths as a result of COVID-19 to 475. In terms of the 787 new cases, the top 10 counties are Sebastian with 87, Washington with 66, Pulaski with 54, Benton with 42, Logan with 37, Independence with 32, Garland with 29, Crittenden County with 28, Jefferson with 25, and Mississippi County with 22. We'll go to the graphs. You'll see it in a different form, and you can see our cases. And then the next one that you'll see is the rolling average. that is trending the right way, but we had an uptick today. We need to get those cases down. Hospitalizations, you can see that we're not at the high point, but we're close to that. And then you look at the number of active cases, we're in terms of those that are continuing to be active below 7,000. So that's not our high water mark. And then if you look at the testing results, the date of test result and testing facility type, we had a pretty good 24 hours from our commercial labs, which continues to be more encouraging. And by the way, I had a call on Saturday from Vice President Pence, and he said, "What do you need?" And I said, "We're counting on August to having these the results that we need from our commercial labs." He said, "We're going to work on that." So I appreciated his support. Department of Health continues to do a good job. Our 7-day rolling average of positive case in Arkansas, it's too high, right at or a little bit above 10%. I hope that trend means something. We've got to get that number down more from the 10% positivity rate. This is, as I mentioned, the test for July, which we've completed at 194,000. We were short of the 200,000 ambitious goal that we set, but that was a good month in testing. And then this is new, and it's I was looking at our previous 7-day rolling average of Arkansas by regions, and it was a little bit confusing to me, and it was pointed out that that was on EpiCurve, and I said, just give me what is comparable to what we do in our 7-day rolling average on new cases, and so this reflects the COVID cases in Arkansas by region, and I think this is instructive. And so if you look at the top line, which is the orange, you'll see Northwest at the high water mark on cases, and now that is significantly down from there. They've got to continue to trend the right direction. And then if you look at the yellow, which is Central Arkansas, again, that is trending in the right direction, not what it was at the high point. But then if you look at the blue, which is the Northeast, this should be a reminder to take action, to not to recognize that this virus could be in every part of the state, the rural parts of the state, every part of it, and Northeast is not going in the right direction now. And so they've got to bring that down. We have to work hard to do that. The red is Southeast. And that has moved up some too. Part of it is because of correctional facilities. And then the green, of course, is the Southwest, and that's flattened out some. But this really indicates where we've had some success, where we have some challenges as a state. And then I wanted to end with just, this is 2 weeks since we had the mask mandate across the state. And I'm grateful for all the businesses that have put signs in their places of business. And this is one that is offered by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Arkansas Associated Industries that you can download if you go to their website, that protect yourself, your family, your job, wear a mask. And then you'll see the next one that this is for a business. Masks are mandatory for entry into this business. And then you can also see that also in Spanish as well. And so I want to thank all the businesses that have supported us in that effort, and to remind the customers, to remind everyone that wearing a mask is important and is a great tool to reduce the spread of the virus. With that, Dr. Romero.
This is Acting Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero.
Thank you, Governor. Let me add a little bit more of a fine point to the numbers that the governor has given you. We talked about the number of hospitalized individuals at 513. The individuals on a ventilator have decreased to 108. I'm sorry, have increased to 108, an increase of two. Total number of Arkansans that have recovered has increased by 664, We are currently at 37,240 individuals that have recovered fully. At this time, we have 6,882 Arkansans with active disease. This is comprised of 80 nursing home cases, 392 correctional cases, and 6,408 community cases. To add a little bit more on the testing, we've done antigen tests for this month of 242. 202 are negative and 40 are positive. Let me offer some comments outside of the testing and the numbers themselves. This weekend I was in South Omaha, South Little Rock, visiting some of the Hispanic stores and down there. I really want to make a shout out to the Hispanic business owners. Every store I went to had signs in Spanish, multiple signs in Spanish, warning about the need for masks. And I'm certain they didn't recognize who I was, but I actually saw a gentleman turned away and had to go back to his car, put the mask on before he was allowed in. So a shout out, thank you very much for adhering to this mask mandate. And lastly, a couple of words about influenza. We're in the middle of summer. Why am I talking about influenza? Well, primarily influenza vaccine. We start vaccinating against influenza this time of year, and we go forward. This year, I want to stress the importance of influenza vaccine for everyone. And the reason why is that there are a significant number of deaths each year from influenza. We don't know what the confluence of influenza infection and COVID will be. Will that lead to increased mortality, morbidity? We know that there's a press on our emergency rooms during influenza season. One way to decompress that is to try to get people immunized against it. And again, these individuals that develop severe influenza become hospitalized. They can wind up in our intensive care units, use intensive care beds, and may require ventilators, which we will need for COVID. So this disease is preventable. We can do it. The vaccine is safe. It doesn't cause disease. Health providers have been taking this vaccine for decades. I have over 20 years of receipt of the vaccine every year. So it's important to go forward with this. I will be periodically reminding people to get their vaccines. So with that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Romero. And with that, we'll take any questions. Yes.
Topic. A couple public health experts that we've talked to have said that they expect there to be more people than normal looking for influenza vaccines because of coronavirus, that it kind of was a wake-up call. Are you expecting that the health department, and what's being done to ensure that there's an adequate supply of that vaccine?
Dr. Romero.
And again, Acting Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero.
So Dr. Dillahay is our point person on vaccines. We are ramping up on this. We're developing our program to go forward on the influenza vaccine, not only for adults, but for children. Remember that we are behind on general immunizations for children. We've caught up on the monthly numbers given, but we have a backlog of doses I have to do. So all of this is falling under her program, and we're moving forward to provide that opportunity for all individuals here in the state.
Yes.
Anyway, so on Friday, the CDC Director Robert Redfield said that states considered hotspots, which what he said was positivity rates of more than 5%, should consider distance learning. Is that CDC recommendation something that you're taking into consideration?
Well, of course, CDC recommendation is 10%. You know, if they're moving it to 5%, that's a different issue. In terms of starting school, we've indicated that we're going to start with inline classroom. We hope that we can make a great deal of progress in the next 3 weeks. We'll see. But that's our goal, and that's one of the reasons that we're having a blended learning environment, and we're giving parents options. Parents have the option of going all virtual this year. In the school districts, they have the option of starting in classroom, and we hope that we'll be able to continue that. And if we have to go to a blended environment, we will. I think that's the right plan for Arkansas, and I understand that there's different messages coming out nationally, but you know, our educators, they're ready to start school, and I think that's the right way to do it.
In terms of the antigen testing kind of prioritized for schools, is the state going to take on the burden of that cost, or is that still going to be sort of out of pocket for those teachers, those students, et cetera?
The antigen test that we provide will be free of cost. And so if you get it through the public health unit, that will be covered. You know, of course, if you go elsewhere, they can charge insurance or otherwise, but we don't plan on having any charge to the participant who needs that test.
Any anticipation those testing kits will be here? Or?
Well, they've been pledged to us by the middle of the month, so it should be adequate time before school starts. You know, we've learned enough that we don't count it done until they're received, but that's the plan, that's the pledge that's been made.
Since the mask mandate has come out in the past 2 weeks, are you expecting to see the results from the mask mandate, if it's been effective or not?
All the scientists say that it takes 2 weeks for that to start having an impact, but the impact all depends upon the level of compliance. Now, anecdotally, it looks to me like it's improved the mask usage by the fact that there's been a mandate in place. It's certainly not 100%, but it has increased it. And so if there is compliance, you'll start seeing a difference, and we hope to see that.
On the increase in Northeast Arkansas, I noticed that Western Tennessee has been growing increasingly into a hot spot. Is there any correlation there?
There could be, because if you look up in some of those counties up in Northeast Arkansas, some of the employees drive over from Tennessee. And so there is a lot of exchange back and forth, employment-wise, work-wise, shopping-wise, with that part of Tennessee. So we can continue to look at that, but it's you know, and they've worked hard, but I think the message is that we have had a sense in Arkansas and some of the rural states that this is an urban problem. You know, this is a Little Rock, this is a Northwest Arkansas, it's a, you know, maybe Jonesboro will have some cases, but we can see in Mississippi County an increase. We can see cases in a lot of the rural counties of Arkansas, and in some ways it spreads it across the state, but it also says there's not any area of Arkansas that someone should be relaxed and say, this is a COVID-free area, or it's not going to touch us here. That is, to me, the message, is that wherever you are in Arkansas, and this applies to other states as well, you've got to be careful whether it's rural or an urban area. And we can, on the vaccine part that you raised the question on, we'll be looking at that, and hopefully we can get you more information on that. Is there any questions remotely?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Wanted to ask you on a couple things. First, on school reopenings, is there a specific number or threshold that you have in mind, and I guess in what area, that would give you pause about going forward with things as planned? Is there a specific number when it comes to positivity rate or cases? Kind of what's the red line that you're looking for on that? Separately, National Governors Association is meeting this week. I understand you're taking over as vice chairman. Wanted to see kind of what your goals were with that position, especially when it comes to pandemic response. And do you see the organization playing a role as kind of a counterforce to President Trump with Governor Cuomo in charge of the group, or taking over as chairman?
We are going to be having our National Governor Association meeting later, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to have my name submitted as vice chair, which means that Chairman Cuomo will be leading the NGA, and then I will be following the year after that. The NGA has been a very strong voice during this pandemic. organizing calls, participating in calls, helping to set the agenda nationally, and being an advocate in behalf of the states as to the needs that we have, both from testing, both from a funding standpoint. And I know that role will continue under Governor Cuomo, but also down the road, hopefully when I get there, the pandemic will be over with. There will be a lot of lessons learned, and I think over the next year for sure, the NGA will have a major role in the pandemic and coordinating with Washington. I wouldn't say that's a counterbalance. I would say that is simply being a part of our system of federalism in the United States of America that recognizes the unique role that the states play, and will continue to advocate for that and represent the states and our needs. In terms of the first part of your question on a school opening, one, you've got a plan. We've got a good plan that's very specific in terms of what our expectations are, in terms of giving flexibility to the local districts, supporting them in the acquisition of PPE. If there's needs out there, we want to be able to address those. We are trying to work through all of the issues in terms of the what ifs, and there's more work to be done there. In terms of the positivity rates, it's not where I would like it to be, and I hope when school starts it's not there. But if you look across the state, it varies county by county, and I met with the Academy of Pediatrics here, the Arkansas chapter, this last week. We discussed that, and they recognize that there's areas that have a lower positivity rate there shouldn't even be a question about. But it's difficult for a state like Arkansas to say we're going to open here and there, and others is just going to be virtual, and then you have a lot of issues that go along with that. So I want our state to be able to move at least at the beginning all together in classroom instruction. We have to adapt and adjust from that down the road. We'll adjust with the circumstances that we find ourselves in. That's the game plan, and everybody needs to understand that if things do not go as planned, you have to be able to make adjustments along the way, and I'm speaking of whether we put in additional restrictions or whether we have to take other steps to make sure that we're safe.
Good afternoon, Governor. It's Brett Rains. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Could you, with Sebastian County being one of the top counties in the state for new active cases, can we attribute that to anything in particular? Is that considered an outbreak? And then secondly, as far as hospitals in Fort Smith, do they need any assistance? Are they getting any extra assistance from the state? Thank you.
In terms of hospitals, I check in fairly regularly with the hospitals across the state, and they're able to adjust and to accommodate both their usual surgery needs as well as with the additional COVID patients that we have. And so our hospitalization is always tight in Arkansas because that's how the hospitals design it, but they're managing their full load, and that's true for the River Valley. In terms of the increased cases in Sebastian County, I think we have to continue to watch that. It's about large gatherings. It's about behavior. It's about being disciplined in social distancing as well as wearing masks. I've seen a couple of activities there that was not as good as they should have been. So I think we learn from those as we go through it, and hopefully everyone in the River Valley will pay attention and to make sure they do their part to reduce the spread.
Follow up real quick, and sorry on that, since you mentioned large gatherings, are you tying that directly to recent music festival that we had last weekend? We know numbers for that for sure?
Well, I mean, that's what I was referencing because I saw pictures of that. And again, there was a good plan. The organizers tried to do a very good job, but not everybody was paying as close attention to it as they should have. And, it's easy to get relaxed about it, and we need to remind ourselves constantly that this is how you have school, this is how you have sports, this is how You keep people out of the hospital. And if we don't do that individually, then we're not going to be doing it together. So that's just a reminder, and it's not just a Fort Smith issue. It's, you could say the same thing about many different areas of our state and activities.
There's a group up there in Northwest Arkansas, Arkansas for Safe Opening. It's a group of local educators who kind of feel like they haven't been heard when it comes to school opening procedures of that nature. Have you solicited any input from those classroom level teachers when it comes to devising plans or anything like that?
I get tons of admonitions from classroom teachers. I get every viewpoint imaginable, and I identify with concerns that they have. Everybody who goes to work in this environment has concerns. Everybody who has to deal with the public has concerns. And that's why we want to put in the safety precautions. We want to listen, and we want to adjust as needed. Yes, I do listen to the teachers. I'm not familiar with this particular group, but I'm not hard to get a hold of. Anything else?
Yes, this is Melissa Zigowitz with THB 11. Students at the University of Arkansas are expected to start coming back to campus in less than 2 weeks now. And as we know, there are a lot of students coming from Texas, which is a hotspot. How concerned are you about an outbreak out there? And is Northwest Arkansas ready for that?
Well, as the students come in from Texas, and they might be coming in from Georgia, Tennessee, Missouri, Oklahoma, as they come in, I know that I hope that some of them will be tested if they've engaged in any type of risky behavior, or they've been in venues that could contract the virus. I hope they'll consider being tested, and that way it protects everyone. But secondly, it's about, not that you're traveling from somewhere. I just came through the Capitol today and I saw four people from Texas. And I went over and I introduced myself. They said they're from Texas. Every one of them had a mask on and I had a mask on. And so to me, that's the solution. And so as the students come in, if you're from Texas and or from any other part of the area or for South Arkansas, put a mask on. That way you're protecting others. So I think the University of Arkansas has a good plan to re-engage the students. There's always risk there, but I think they have a good plan with a lot of safety precautions that include the sanitizing, but it also includes the planning for the facilities and the requirements to wear masks and social distancing as needed.
Just one more question. I don't think you mentioned this, I didn't hear it, but how many tests were done in the last 24 hours?
Thank you for asking that, and I believe it was 6,700 tests, but I'll check. I was off. It was 6,357 tests were done. I apologize for not mentioning that earlier. 6,357 tests. Any other question? Any other final question? All right, with that, thank you very much.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KYR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief rundown of the numbers we heard today. Actually, over the weekend, we saw an increase of just under 1,300 new cases. That includes both increases on Saturday and Sunday. We saw 662 new cases on Saturday, 637 on Sunday. And today here on Monday, August the 3rd, we have an additional 787 cases of the coronavirus here in Arkansas. That brings the total number of people who have ever tested positive here in the state to 44,597. We saw actually a decrease in Arkansans hospitalized with COVID-19. That was a decrease of 2 for a total of 513. We did, however, see an increase of 11 Arkansans who have died from COVID-19. That brings the state's death toll as of today to 475. Also, as of today, 6,882 active cases of COVID-19 here in the state. That includes 80 nursing home residents, 392 inmates of correctional facilities, and 6,408 members of the general public. We heard Sebastian County had the highest increase in new cases with 87 residents testing positive, 66 new cases from Washington County, 54 for here in Pulaski County, 42 in Benton County, 37 in Logan County, 32 in Independence County, 29 in Garland, 28 in Crittenden, 25 in Jefferson, and 22 in Mississippi County. We heard a bit of a abridged briefing here today from the governor and Acting Health Secretary Dr. Jose Romero. The big news, the announcement came last week that the state was purchasing 200 antigen test machines. Antigen tests are different from the traditional tests that we are referring to usually here in these briefings. Those are known as PCR tests. Those are generally seen as more accurate, essentially less of a chance of a false positive. But as we have heard in a number of these briefings and, of course, in national media, that there has been a nationwide shortage of reagents which are used in those PCR tests. So we see here in Arkansas state health officials turning toward this other kind of testing, antigen testing, which provides a quicker response time and does not need those same reagents that PCR tests need. We heard last week there was an order of 200 machines to complete those antigen tests from the health department. Today we heard the governor saying that the state is ordering or has received 100 machines and still 100 more are on order, and that they have not received the kits that are needed to use those machines yet, but Governor Hutchinson saying they will expect to have those by the middle of this month. And we heard the governor saying that the priority for those testing machines will be K through 12 members of the educational system, staff, teachers, as well as students, as we have heard numerous questions on whether schools are safe to reopen here beginning the week of August 24th at the end of this month that we've just started. The governor again fielding questions about that today, saying that we have a good plan in place. We here in Arkansas can pivot to remote learning if needed, and parents and students have a bit of choice in that matter, depending on which school district they're in. But again, these 200 testing machines, antigen testing machines, quick response point of care equipment will be sent to the Arkansas Department of Health's public health units across the state in counties, and it will be free of charge and will be primarily used for students, K through 12 students, as well as teachers and other staff members. Again, you've been listening to the governor's daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. You are listening to 89.1 KUAR Little Rock. Again, the tally of new cases over the weekend, 1,299 new cases. Today, an increase of 787 cases for a total of 44,597. A decrease of 2 hospitalizations for a total of 513. And over the weekend itself, on Saturday and Sunday combined, we saw an increase of 11 deaths. Today, in one single day, we have seen another 11 deaths. That brings the state's death toll due to COVID-19 to 475. And as of today, on Monday, August the 3rd, 2020, we have 6,882 active cases of COVID-19. Thank you for listening. Tune in this afternoon to All Things Considered for a more in-depth rundown, and again during Morning Edition tomorrow morning. And as always, you can listen live online and find all of our coverage related to the COVID-19 pandemic here in Arkansas and all of its effects. That is online at KUAR.org. Thanks for listening. This is KYR News.